Hello, hello, everyone. What's going on? It's Ruth here, and welcome to the Corner Office at Home podcast. In today's podcast, I'm going to be sharing actually the audio of a Facebook Live I did with an incredible lady. She's an entrepreneur. She is a real estate broker and investor. She's absolutely brilliant. She has an MBA from Wake Forest University, and just has done some really amazing things in her life, really stepped out of her comfort zone and created the life that she was really desiring. So I wanted to share this episode with you to inspire you in case you're feeling stuck in your life. You're going to get to listen to this amazing lady and hear her story, and hopefully it helps you take those steps that are really required to live the life of your dreams. Now, if you are listening to this podcast, please take a screenshot of it, post it in your stories, tag me on Instagram at Ruth Ann Sheridan. Really helps me get the podcast out there and keep it free for everyone. And also, I do trainings for teams of 20 or more. So if you would like me to train your network marketing team or sales team, real estate team, send me an email at ruth@ruthannsheridan.com, and I will have my assistant schedule a time with you. And also, I do a special training every month just for our podcast listeners. So join the Telegram channel. The Telegram channel is in the show notes of this show. So make sure you join the Telegram channel. And I do monthly trainings for just my podcast listeners. And I announce it in that channel. So make sure you hop on. So anyway, let's dive into today's show. I am super excited for you to meet my friend Lisa McKenzie. And it looks like we are live. So welcome, everyone. I'm so excited to be here today with our Women in Power series here. And I have my really, really good friend Lisa McKenzie with me today. And I'm so excited to have her on because she's an amazing lady. She has a master's of business administration. She is a real estate broker, top tier real estate agent, licensed in 3 states. She's a single mom. She's done a phenomenal job of raising 2 outstanding children. I've had the pleasure of meeting them online, at least. We haven't actually met in person because we're not traveling much here in Canada, but I can't wait till I can meet her. And I really asked Lisa to come on today just to share some of her experiences being a powerful woman entrepreneur, and some of the challenges, some of the victories, and what that looks like to her. And my hope in these series is to really inspire you to do what you love, stand out as a powerful woman. If you feel like, if you're an older woman and you feel like life has just kind of sucked the life out of you and you don't know if you can find your vision again, you can absolutely do that. And these series are really to inspire you to help you do that. So welcome, Lisa. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you, Ruth. I am so thrilled to be here with you. And I so appreciate that lovely introduction. One of the things I think about being women in business is it takes a lot of women in business to kind of help each other and support each other. And, you and I both kind of came up in an era where it wasn't so much that. There was a little bit of, I'm going to say backbiting and not being super supportive of each other. So I'm very grateful to have the environment that we have now. And I have to tell everybody how much I appreciate you, because you have really helped me in the couple of years that we've been working together and becoming friends to kind of find my power and bring it out and sort of revel in it. So I just really appreciate the amazing influence you've had on me and my life personally and business-wise.
Oh, thank you, Lisa. And the feeling is mutual. Absolutely. So Lisa, share with me, you're in real estate. You're in North Carolina, correct?
Yep. I live in North Carolina pretty much full time. Although I do have real estate licenses in South Carolina and Arkansas of all places. So, I am here most of the time.
And you told me that recently you started working with your own brokerage, right? What was the move that made you do that, the circumstances?
That's, boy, what a move. You know, all of my real estate career, I have worked for brokerages, and I've worked for a couple of big box brokerages. At one point, I joined a team that was with a big box brokerage. About 7-8 months ago, I joined a company that's a newer firm, but had a pretty interesting business model. And the reason I've always worked with brokerages is because somewhere inside me, I thought that I needed that backing. I thought that I needed the support of, you know, a brand name or leads or, you know, something that would come from a brokerage or having a company behind me. And what I realized, actually, when I joined the team that I joined almost 2 years ago, I didn't have a great experience there because I was promised a lot of things. You know, I was bringing a lot to the team. I was bringing a book of business. I was bringing experience. I was bringing, you know, some pretty good knowledge. I was bringing some pretty powerful real estate practices. And I was promised a lot of things in return. And those things didn't materialize. But it took me a bit of time to kind of acknowledge that. I kept thinking, oh, it'll get better. Oh, it'll get better. And it didn't. And it didn't. And so when I left that team, I was, you know, kind of sat back just a little bit. And then I joined another company who had a little bit different business model, similarly made a lot of promises. And this time I only gave it 6 months. I said, 6 months in, I'm going to look at the numbers. And I looked at the numbers and I saw that about 90% of the business I had done with this company was my own personal book of business. And so when you looked at, you know, my return versus what they'd gotten, it was a significantly unweighted balance in my favor. But what that did for me is it made me realize that about 80 or 90% of my business is my own business. And this is because of the reputation that I built in the real estate world. This is because of the relationships that I have, the professionalism with which I approach my clients. And I realized that this is why people keep coming back to me and refer me to people they care about. And it was sort of this light bulb aha moment where it was like, I don't need those brokerages. I'm not getting from them what I have built and developed here myself. So that's when I said, you know what? Forget it all. I'm pulling it all in-house and I'm just going to do it myself. And I'm real excited. I just wrapped up redesigning my logo and getting all my marketing assets done. And from here on out, I am only going to work with those clients and those transactions that serve me best and that I know I can serve best. And I get to keep it all. So that's even better. So it was a big aha moment because it was sort of a jumping off the cliff, but it also was the most significant trust in myself I could possibly exhibit. Because now I don't fall back on anything else. It was, gosh, I really have accomplished this and done it. So let's take it and move forward with it now. So it was a pretty nice emotional bolstering as well.
I love that, Lisa. So what would you, what would you tell people who maybe, like that takes a lot of nerve, right? To go, okay, I'm done. I'm doing it alone. I'm going out there. I'm jumping off the cliff. What would you tell people who are afraid? Like, what advice would you give them?
You know, I think the biggest thing is listen to your inner voice, because usually our inner voices are telling us the right thing to do. But more importantly than listen to your inner voice is to act on it. Because I spent a lot of years listening to my inner voice and my gut instinct, but not necessarily always acting on it. And I think that's really, really key. What's inside us is going to guide us and tell us what to do. You know, the other thing, and this was a mentor of mine many years ago, one of my first real estate mentors. And one of the things that he would say to me when I would kind of be like, oh, I don't know. I'm a little scared. Yeah. What's the worst thing that could happen? And so I would encourage anyone that is thinking about a big move, but who is, you know, maybe feeling some fear around it, to really consider this, what's the worst thing that could happen? Because usually it's not so bad. Whatever it is, it's not so bad. If for some reason what you want to do doesn't pan out the way you want it to, there's always a fallback plan. You can always get a job or find a way to, you know, earn income or do something. We know there's a lot of ways out there to earn income. And so I think that's really, those are the two things. Act on your inner voice and really ask yourself, what's the absolute worst thing that could happen?
I love that. I love that because I think, like you, there have been times in my life where my inner voice was going, okay, you have to make a move now. But we stop ourselves out of either fear of loss, fear of judgment, fear of anything, really. It's usually fear-based that stops us. But I love that advice. Like, what's the worst thing that's going to happen? Because it's usually not that bad.
Yeah.
So share with me, I mean, entrepreneurship is such a journey, and share with me, you know, one of the, when you look back now, one of the funniest things that happened to you in your journey in real estate. And maybe it didn't feel funny at the time.
Gosh, there's probably been so many moments that were just really funny. I think back probably, you know, so when I first started in real estate, there was a real, you know, you're supposed to be very professional and dressed, you know, just so, and, you know, have this perfect kind of shiny image for your clients. And I was out with some clients one time and took them in, and it was kind of one of these, just everything that could possibly go wrong went wrong. These were pretty high-end clients. They were looking at expensive homes, and we go to go into the house. And at the time, we used these combo lock boxes that you had to actually do a combination on, open it.
I've seen those.
Right now, everything's electronic, which is great, or most things are. But when I took the key out, I'm talking to them, and I fumbled the key, and it slips out of my hands and drops onto the porch through the cracks in the deck.
Oh no.
And I just watch it go down, and I'm like, oh, crap, what am I gonna do? So I literally had to get on my hands and knees and crawl under, kind of under, to get this key out. And, you know, these, and I'm pretty green in the business, and I'm in my nice clothes and I'm all polished. Yeah. I think I'm, you know, just smart. I'm smart as can be. And all of a sudden I'm not so smart. So we do manage to get into the house. And we get in, and the alarm code starts going off. The alarm.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, oh, dear God. And I'm fumbling around looking for the alarm code, which is supposed to be on my paper somewhere. But, you know, my papers got all messed up when I had to crawl under the porch. And eventually the alarm is going off, and I eventually get to it and shut it off, but not in time that it hadn't alerted the alarm company. So they're calling. And, you know, meanwhile, my clients, thank God, are very, very good humored. And, you know, it just kind of proceeded from there. Everywhere we went in the house, you know, something, a light didn't work or something. And then we go out to the back, and I close the door behind me, and we locked ourselves out of the house. Yes, I was able to run around and go in through the front door, get us back in. But, you know, it was just, it just goes to show that when you are trying to put on this shiny sheen, not everything's perfect. And that was kind of my lesson in all this stuff is going to go wrong, and you better find a way to, one, overcome it, two, kind of make light of it. But what it also caused me to do was later on, when I started mentoring agents of my own, part of my training program for them was you go out and you preview show 20 houses by yourself. You can take your spouse or your best friend or whatever, but pick 20 houses and go out and preview show them, because these things are going to happen. You know, the cat's going to get out and run away. You're going to step on the pool cover. Like, these things are going to happen. And so if you've already experienced them and known how to deal with them, then when you're in front of a client and they happen, you can handle them with a little more polished fashion. But yeah, that was a really embarrassing day for me.
That's really good advice, though, to do practice runs.
Practice runs. Yeah. I mean, you were a racer, you know, you never try something brand new on race day.
No, right? No way. Yeah.
And these things do happen. They still happen to me today. These weird things happen when I'm showing houses, but now I've done it enough that I can move on through it, or I make a joke out of it, or, you know, we're able to kind of handle it a little better now. So
I love that.
And you got to be able to laugh at yourself, no matter what you're doing, right? It's, you know, these embarrassing things happen, and you just make them worse if you, you know, kind of can't handle it. So I think it's really important throughout life to have a sense of humor and be able to laugh at yourself a little bit.
Do you think that when things kind of go wrong and it's kind of funny and, you know, it's like the comedy of errors, do you feel that clients trust you even more when you can laugh at it?
100%. Because we're all human, right? And we have this, you know, we say nobody's perfect, but sometimes it humanizes you to make mistakes in front of people, and especially to laugh at it, because then they know that you're just a real person like them. And again, I think this applies to any business we're in. It's, you know, it's not just real estate, as well as personal relationships. You know, if you can acknowledge that you made a mistake and people see that you made a mistake, it's like we all do.
Yeah,
I don't want to say dumb things, but we all do dumb things.
Totally.
Clumsy things, whatever we want to call them. So yes, I think you're 100% right, Ruth, that people feel more at ease and comfortable with somebody who is just as imperfect as they are.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So you spent some years in corporate as well, Lisa, before you got into real estate. So what were your corporate days like?
Yeah.
I think back to when I was in corporate, it was a weird time for women. I started working in 1987, and I was in a CPA firm. I was brand new. I was like a rookie. And there was only one woman partner in all of Canada. And it was a real challenge for women back then, trying to get their voice and trying to make their place in the firm and then later in corporate. What was that like for you? Did you ever feel any challenges like that?
Yeah, I felt a lot of challenges. I think we were working corporately in the same era when we wore suits. Nylons and pumps, right? And that was my attire every day. I was super well-dressed back then. And I worked in an industry, I worked in the consumer packaged goods industry, and I worked on the promotion side. So we basically developed and analyzed promotions for companies like Kellogg's and Coca-Cola and Dr. Pepper and Frito-Lay and General Mills, the likes. And those were some of my clients. Because of the area that I worked in, the people that I worked with was a very male dominated segment of that industry. So I worked primarily with the sales divisions of those companies, and it was very, very, very male dominated. And so I felt that, you know, I was quite young at the time and I was fairly attractive. And so I felt that as an attractive, smart, young woman dealing with these men who were in their 50s, 60s, 70s, who had a lot of years of business experience, I had to really prove myself. And so I worked really, really hard to prove myself. Now, I will tell you, I had a lot of fun because I got to travel. I mean, again, I was 24 years old and calling on, you know, the VP of sales at the Kellogg's company. Like, that was a big deal.
And for sure. And
I kind of felt like a hot shot. I probably thought I was much hotter stuff than I was. But I will say I was also very, very fortunate because the company that I worked for had a woman as their president.
Wow.
Kitty Green. She was my first mentor ever. She and I met and she really took me under her wing. And she told me that she saw me as a younger version of herself. She saw a lot of herself in me. And so she really helped me to feel my power and my strength in that very male dominated world. And one of the best things she did for me was early on in my career, we had to give a account presentation at the Dial Corporation. You all may have heard of the Dial Corporation.
Dial Soap, yeah.
And I remember walking in that room and I had bought this beautiful suit just for the occasion. And I walked in that room and there was not a man under the age of probably 55 years old. There were 20 men in there and, you know, they're very staunch looking. And Kitty was up in the corner and she just kind of gave me a wink and a nod that you got this. And I felt perfectly comfortable and at ease that day. And it really meant the world to me that I had this woman who empowered me and said, you know, you've got this. And she had already been very successful in our industry. And if I hadn't had her in my corner and really mentoring me and taking me under her wing, I don't think I would have been as successful as I ultimately was in that industry. She sadly passed away about 3 years after we started working together. And that was a big blow because she gave me that. And I very much enjoyed what I did. However, I also felt the real strong need to constantly prove myself and hold my own in that very male dominated world.
Interesting. Thinking back, that's almost unheard of that there would be a woman in that kind of role back then. So you were so fortunate to have her as a mentor.
Yeah.
But I didn't have any of that. Like, man, there were some times that I felt so self-conscious in the room because I would be the only woman.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was kind of weird.
Yeah.
But it even to this day, Reg says, women have it tough. Women have it tough. And I go, it's not tough now. It's no, not compared to what it was when, you know, back when we started.
Yeah.
And I tell him some of the stories and some of them are just like hair raising.
Yeah.
And he goes, wow, I didn't know that went on. I go, oh yeah, that went on.
It went on.
Yeah, it went on.
It went on.
But it made us who we are now.
Yeah, it made us who we are. I mean, I remember going and speaking at sales meetings and there would literally be 400 men in the room and I was on a stage in front of them. And, you know, again, you got to really be able to hold your own and, you know, having to go out to dinners and, you know, there's always a lot of male dominated stuff going on at dinners and just to kind of maintain that, that firm boundary that, you know, I'm here to do a job and only a job, was a pretty, you know, that was a pretty daunting thing to do, but, yeah. And, you know, I will say I stopped working corporately when my daughter was born and I never looked back. I never wanted to go back to any kind of corporate job or corporate America at all.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear you on that one. I left as well and I had had enough.
Yeah.
So give me your opinion as a, you know, I know you're an investor, you're a prominent real estate broker. Give me your opinion on things like multiple streams of income.
There is no smarter way to live your life than to find multiple streams of income, because if there's anything, if you didn't learn it before 2020, you better have learned in 2020 that there is no certainty in this world, right? And even for people that, you know, had good, stable jobs, there are a lot of people that lost their jobs completely. For myself, with a very strong real estate business, you know, real estate got pretty well shut down for several months during the first part of COVID. And our industry is still, everybody thinks it's so strong, but that's a whole other podcast probably, because it's a matter of perspective. You know, our industry is still very, very difficult to earn money in if you're not good at earning money. And, you know, people that are in event planning, these people lost income. And so if for so many people in our world, that time period was a real eye-opener that I lost my job and, you know, I've got to go into forbearance on my mortgage and thank God the government is giving stipends and all these things. But what if you don't have those things? And what if those things aren't available to you? So I think that the smartest thing anyone can do is to protect themselves by having multiple streams of income, even if they're small ones, even if they're, you know, little things that can pay, make your car payment for a month or make sure your house payment gets made or your rent gets paid. Incredibly important for people to do.
Absolutely. So Lisa, you're involved not only in your core business, but also in network marketing. What do you see as that network marketing brings to the table for you? Because obviously you're a successful real estate broker. You've got an amazing business. You're doing all right. So why network marketing? Like what is the draw for you?
Yeah, I was first introduced to network marketing, the industry in 2015. And just the business model. I mean, I'm a business person. And when I saw the business model, I got real excited because the opportunity to, you know, make it your own and do it in just the way that you want to do it. The opportunity to create residual income and passive income and do it as little or as much as you want to were all just incredibly, incredibly appealing to me. So I really fell in love with the industry and the business model because it's a smart one. It's a super smart one. And, you know, as I've had experience with a few different companies in the network marketing industry, I've seen real clearly what it takes to have a viable opportunity in network marketing. And I think that's really key for people to evaluate and make sure they have a very viable opportunity. What I think is very interesting is that there are so many different levels of success in network marketing. So people say, oh, you know, only 1% of people are successful. And that's a discussion I'm always willing to engage in because success is very different for very different people. You know, there are people that only need or want to make a couple hundred dollars a month. there are people that only need or want the community of their network marketing team. So for me, the ability for people to be successful at their own level and in the way that feels and means success to them is incredibly empowering and really, really important. You know, for me, kind of growing my network marketing business was about growing myself. I'm a lifelong learner. I always love a new challenge. You know, real estate kind of caps out. I can get creative and, you know, I can sell a house while I'm asleep, standing on my head, inside, outside, upside down. That's not a problem for me. But to learn about and learn how to implement new ways of marketing, new ways of talking to people, new ways of helping people, new ways of bringing things into people's lives that they otherwise wouldn't have an opportunity to be a part of, that excites me. That just really, you know, that gets my wheels turning and you know, that's what I want to get up for every day. So, you know, for me, it's additional challenge, it's additional learning, it's the ability to impact more people, it's the ability to help more people. You know, real estate is somewhat limited. There's some things that you have to have in order to work in real estate. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to have anything in order to work in network marketing other than, you know, a little bit of gumption and the right company and the right team to teach you what to do.
Awesome. I love that. Because I think everyone comes into this industry for different reasons, as you said. And it's pretty cool watching people develop into bigger and better versions of themselves and really discover things about themselves. So it's a pretty cool industry. I love that. So parting remarks, what would you advise, say, a woman who is 48 years old, let me pick a number, 48. That would be, you know, the version of myself when I first sort of took the big move into entrepreneurship. What would you be your biggest piece of advice for someone who maybe had some self-doubt, maybe went through some things in their life that left them feeling kind of like they weren't good enough? What would you tell them?
I would tell them, you've got at least half your life ahead of you. And what do you want that life to look like? Do you want it to be filled with possibilities? And do you want it to be filled with dreams and, you know, fulfilling something that you haven't had yet? Or do you want it to be stuck in, you know, what's happened to you? Back to that, what's the worst thing that could happen? You know, a lot of times we can sit and say, I've had some really awful, difficult, unpleasant things happen in my life. Could it get much worse than that? Or can it only get better? So I think, you know, what I would always tell somebody is, you know, you've got to shoot for the moon because you'll at least find some stars on the way, right?
Absolutely. I love that.
Yeah. It's all about possibilities and what do we want that, you know, we can't change what our life has looked like up till now. But we all have the power to change what it looks like from this moment forward.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Lisa, for spending time with us today and sharing your wisdom with us and all your success. And I congratulate you for everything you've done. It's not always easy, but you're so resilient and certainly a very bright lady. So thank you for sharing that all with us. And I look forward to seeing you again soon, hopefully soon in person.
I know. Thank you, Ruth. It has just so been my pleasure to chat with you today. And I am so grateful for your friendship, mentorship, and I can't wait to meet you in person. I think I said the other day, I'm just going to come to Canada and we'll have to find a place to retreat up there.
Totally. Anyway, you have an amazing weekend. Thanks for joining in, guys. We'll be back again soon. Bye.
Bye.